Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April the 5th. An absolutely beautiful, lovely afternoon here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk about the big story around here, which is this huge immigration raid just north of Dallas. We're also going to talk about NATO. We're going to talk about Vice President Biden. The Democrats and President Trump seem to be arguing about tax returns. But let me begin with what is happening south of the border in Mexico. There's a very interesting article that was in the Wall Street Journal today about Mexico and Central Americans. You know, when we used to hear about immigration in Mexico, it was pretty clear that the Mexicans were not interested in opening up Mexico to Central Americans. In fact, Central Americans who walked through Mexico were always scared to death that they would be apprehended and deported. And let's just say that Mexico was not a friendly place for Central Americans, or frankly anybody else who wanted to cut through Mexico to come to the United States. Well, it doesn't seem to be that way anymore. There's lots and lots of Mexicans or Central Americans, I should say, who are entering Mexico, and they're making their way to the United States. This is not popular in Mexico from everything that I've seen or heard. And you have to wonder, you know, one of two things, I guess. One, they're allowing this to happen. Or two, maybe they've lost control of their border. Maybe they just simply cannot control their border in the south. One way or another, I think it's bad. It's very bad for Mexico, because I don't think most Mexicans want to see their country turn into a highway to the United States. So President Trump is right when he says to Mexico, hey, you've got to do a better job controlling your borders. So we'll see what happens. Now, President Trump just recently said, I think today or yesterday, that Mexico is doing a better job. Let's hope so. But man, I mean, the thousands of people marching through Mexico, that's something that we had never seen before. Well, the big story around here in the North Texas, North Dallas area, is what happened in Allen, Texas. Allen, Texas is a community just north of Dallas. It's sort of one of these suburbs, if you will, of the Dallas area that has just grown extensively over the last 20 or 25 years. And yesterday, or Wednesday afternoon, I should say, there was a huge raid on a huge immigration raid on a facility that I believe the facility is in the business of assembling cell phones. And they arrested over 280 people. I mean, the store or the facility, as far as I know, has been shut down, or at least is not opened for normal operations at the moment. And, you know, you had all kinds of coverage in the news about the immigration raid, and, of course, many people focusing on the separation of the families and the poor families who are going to be deported. And I certainly sympathize with that. I mean, I know many of the people who usually get caught up in these things are just people who are basically trying to make a living and trying to do the best that they can. But, you know, these companies using illegal immigration labor are really a particular threat, a huge threat, I should say, to the Hispanic community. First of all, I mean, what is going on in these facilities, and the allegations are that not only there was illegal immigration, but they were faking documents and perhaps even mistreating people. All of this, of course, is bad for the workers who are there. And there's just no other way to explain it. I mean, these companies are literally exploiting workers. Number two, they do not hire legal Hispanic workers because they don't want them. They want the illegal, because once they hire legal workers, then, of course, they have to obey the law and file the papers and so on, or maybe the workers will complain about what's going on in these facilities. So number two. And number three, and I think this is the most important one, these kinds of businesses are making it very difficult for people who follow the law, the Hispanic business that plays by the rules, that obeys immigration laws, that does not engage in this kind of criminality. That business is put at a disadvantage when they're competing with a company like this, able to put a product in the marketplace because of the illegal immigration practices. So overall, these kinds of companies are bad for the community. Again, we all sympathize with the people arrested. Most of them, as I say, were just poor people who were just trying to make a living at that facility. I understand that. But I do hope that the ICE and the Homeland Security and the authorities really go after the owners and the principals of the company, because they're the ones who made this possible. And they're the ones who I think have to be made an example to any other company in the country engaging in these practices. When you're using illegal immigration, when you're using illegal immigrants, and you're not paying them what the law requires, and you're not following the law, you're putting companies that are properly run, that are legally run, companies that follow the law, those companies are put at a terrible disadvantage in the marketplace. And that's the way I look at it. And I hope that they come down very hard on the principals who run this company. I mean, if everything that we're hearing is true, I think some people need to go to jail. I think there have to be some very harsh penalties, absolutely very harsh penalties on the people running that company in Allen, Texas. Again, you know, they're innocent until proven guilty. I'm not going to convict them. You know, they're entitled to their day in court, and I'm sure they'll have it. But man, what we're hearing that was going on then in there is not pretty by any means. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And you can follow Carlos. We have a link to his website right there under the show description. Click on that, and it'll tell you where he's playing every single day this week here in the Dallas area. Now, this day in history, 1614, that would make it 405 years ago, Pocahontas and John Rolfe were married in what, of course, we now call Virginia. Their marriage was almost like a peace agreement between the natives and the Englishmen who were coming over, and it did give the region a certain amount of peace, or a certain time of peace. Pocahontas and John Rolfe were married 405 years ago. It's incredible. You know, the other day I was talking to somebody, and he said, "Oh, you mean Pocahontas was real?" And I said, "Yes, she was. She was a real person." Of course, that's because they saw the movie, the Disney movie, and they thought it was just a legend, you know, like Snow White or something like that. Gregory Peck, the great actor, was born on this day in 1916. And another great actor, Charlton Heston, died on this day in 2008. He, of course, in the later stages of his life, became well known as the president of the NRA. Charlton Heston, I mean, his movies are just absolutely top-notch. I have a post over at the American Thinker today, Friday, where I talk a little bit about NATO and what is going on in NATO. You know, NATO celebrated 70 years of existence. It was in 1949 that the treaty was signed, and at the time it included most of the countries in the West. It has even more countries now, particularly since the collapse of the Soviet Union, and so many of these Eastern European countries became sovereign countries again. And NATO, you know, over the years, I would argue, has worked rather well. The alliance was originally created to stand up to the USSR. That was the whole idea of the alliance. And the reason it was able to do that is because the United States was willing and ready to carry the load of the military fighting anywhere that there had to be an operation. Now, the British and the Canadians have done a great job in Afghanistan as well. We have to salute that. But it's really been the United States over the last 70 years, the country that has done the heavy lifting. We're still seeing that in Afghanistan. A lot of other countries have pulled out their troops, but the United States is still there making a military statement. But right now, the biggest challenge that NATO finds itself, or the biggest challenge it faces right now, is that many countries are simply not paying their contributions. NATO is based on every country having to meet a certain military commitment, or at the very least, a certain commitment to military spending in its budget, and many countries have simply not done that. They've gone you know, they've become more social welfare states where they have all kinds of social programs, and they have that in large measure because they don't have to worry about defending themselves. They don't have to worry about having a defense budget because they've been relying on the United States or NATO, but really the United States, to do it for them. And now, of course, NATO has become a very serious political matter here in the United States. You know, in my post over at the American Thinker, I cite that President Obama became very frustrated with NATO during the Libya operation. In fact, at one time, even calling NATO countries free riders, people who just wanted a free ride. And that's because one of the things that President Obama learned in the Libya operation is how ill-equipped NATO was to fight a war. I mean, if you remember, the French couldn't even fly airplanes without the United States radar system, and the British couldn't sustain any kind of battle, any kind of attack, because they just didn't have the weapons to do it. And President Obama became very frustrated. Well, NATO is now 70, and of course, President Trump has been very vocal calling on these countries to pay their fair share, which is exactly correct, and I'm glad to hear him do that. And I don't know if NATO is going to survive. I really don't. I think, you know, we will always have a relationship with England and maybe some of the Western, some of the Eastern European countries who I think understand the value of NATO much better and are willing to make the financial commitment. But a lot of other countries, a lot of these welfare state European countries, I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep up with it because they're just not interested in any kind of defense. They're just interested in basically surviving with their welfare state. They also have serious population problems, as we've talked about before. So can NATO survive another year, 5 years? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not sure that it can because so many countries are simply not living up to their requirements. Well, President, or I should say Vice President Biden, I guess he's back. You know, he's back, and he gave a little speech and made a little video and even made a joke about touching his wife and all of that. Look, to me, this whole thing about Biden is a bit overblown. I mean, I'm sure that his behavior at times has been uncomfortable for the women who've been on the receiving side, but I've never thought of him as a, you know, some kind of a sexual predator or anything like that. And he's been doing this for 40 years. And during the last 40 years, this never became an issue, which I find it interesting. I mean, did anybody ever ask President Obama about his vice president and the way he touches women? Apparently not, because this was never an issue. And this is why I continue to say that I believe this is a hit job on Vice President Biden by the left of his party. The left of the party does not want Biden on top of the ticket. They just think he's too centrist. I guess they think he's probably too old, but they just don't think he connects with the left wing of the party, which is where all the energy and the money in the Democrat Party is these days. And that's why I think they're trying to take him out. And they're probably going to be successful at it. They're probably going to be successful at it because more and more women will come out, and Vice President Biden will have to spend more and more of his time answering these questions. And that's not probably what he wants to be doing in the primaries. You know, the Democrats are calling on President Trump to release, I mean, I don't even know, 6 years of tax returns. I mean, it's just crazy. That is just absolutely crazy what they're doing. And you know, now that they, you know, they want the full report out, it just seems like they have nothing else to do but investigate Trump. They don't seem to be very concerned or even interested in doing any kind of legislation. They've put basically all the legislation on the side, and all they're doing is basically focusing on getting Trump. I think it's going to backfire big time on them. I mean, huge. I think it's going to fire big time because that's not what the country wants. That's not what the country wants. The country wants government to get things done. And in fact, most of the moderates, as we've talked about, most of those Democrats elected in so-called competitive districts, they ran on the basis that they wanted to get things done. They just didn't want to investigate Trump. So we'll see how it goes. But I think the Democrats are making a huge mistake in the policies they are pursuing. They'd be a heck of a lot better off if they were focusing on solving problems. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Again, a beautiful afternoon here in North Texas. And we'll talk to you the next time.